Hello, this is Bronson Fry with the Associated General Contractors of Alaska Build Alaska podcast. Honored to be joined today by Mr. Robbie Capps, the president of F&W Construction. How are you doing today, Robbie?
Good, Bronson. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us and taking some time to chat a little about your experience in the construction industry here in our state. I like to generally open just asking folks about themselves, their background, and where they're from, how they got in the industry. So why don't you could just tell us a little about yourself.
So I was born in Anchorage, 1961. Spent my entire life here in Alaska. Short stint for school in Eastern Washington for a couple years, but other than that, I'm in Alaska continuously. After the earthquake, my family moved to Fairbanks, and so I spent some of my early elementary school years in Fairbanks, and then came back to Anchorage, where I've lived ever since. And F&W Construction is a 62-year-old Alaskan company that my grandfather started in 1958.
Wow.
And my grandfather's name was Al Wiederholt, and he started it with a gentleman by the name of Ed Forsberg.
All right.
And Ed Forsberg was a partnership they had where my grandfather bought Ed out in 1967, and then eventually myself and another family member purchased the company from my grandfather's estate after his passing in 1988.
Wow. So did you grow up much around the industry, or was it, you mentioned it was your grandfather's company, so was your dad around the industry much, or were you growing up?
No, not so much. I mean, most of it was my grandfather, and we spent lots and lots of time job sites all over the place, and my dad was pretty active in some facets of the construction industry, but didn't have a construction company per se.
Okay.
So we were familiar with the industry, but my brothers and I, we all grew up around the industry, and my grandfather historically had done a lot of work in the bush, so we were able to spend a lot of time out in Bristol Bay and over in the western Alaska and a few areas like that where he did a lot of work at the time.
Gotcha.
So we enjoyed quite a bit of work, our time spent on projects out in that area at a pretty young age. So we got introduced to a lot of those areas, where F&W still does a lot of work.
So all over the state, you got to kind of travel around, look around different job sites growing up.
Yeah, I've spent my early years in the back of a Cessna flying to some village or small town all over the place. And
wow.
And so it was enjoyable. We've had the opportunity to work literally all over the state of Alaska. And most of that introduction was all, through my grandfather.
That's cool. How old were you when you kind of knew that you wanted to be in construction or in some capacity?
It was always something that it always attracted me. I mean, we were always building something. I mean, my wife laughs still to this day because everybody in my family's always got a project, and it doesn't seem like they ever really end their perpetual projects, whether it's a cabin somewhere or a second home somewhere or whatever you've... I think it's something that you're kind of born with, and it's maybe a little bit in your blood. I know it is with me. And so we've been fortunate that, it's been great for me and my family. My kids have followed me into the industry, but I couldn't really – I think it was something pretty early on that I knew I wanted to do, and that's the way I pursued it.
And has the business changed much in what it does since you've taken it over? Or have you kind of stayed the course that your grandfather was in as a business in the industry? What do you focus on?
Yeah, F&W is a building contractor, a commercial building contractor. It's market driven. I mean, with regard to, what kind of projects that we're building at any given time.
Mm-hmm.
For years, my grandfather focused on schools. So there was a lot of schools in the Bristol Bay area, a lot of the elementary schools in Anchorage. We've done work on West High School and Romick and East High School, so we've done a lot of school-related work, and that happened to be where he spent a lot of his time.
Mm-hmm.
I think early on, the first we were fortunate enough to find, prior to our 60th anniversary party a couple of years ago, the first contract that F&W ever performed.
Oh, wow.
Which was a school in 1958 on Woody Island, which is off Kodiak Island there.
Okay.
There was an FAA site there. There was, I think, most of the folks that went to school there were FAA employees, children.
Mm-hmm.
That school was wiped out in the 1964 earthquake. The tsunami took that school away.
Whoa.
But that was in 1958, and he continued to do a lot of work on Kodiak and King Salmon and Dillingham areas for many, many years. Schools in those areas, Iliamna,
mm-hmm.
those geographic areas there, and, and we still do some schools. We've been, you know, I've been fortunate enough to come back, and probably 1989 or 1990 was a project that we built in addition that year on Tudor Elementary School, which was a project that my grandfather built initially.
Wow.
And had actually added an addition on, and during a demolition period, we found some notes and stuff that was stuffed up in the ceiling there that was in his handwriting. So
wow.
Kind of an interesting thing. So he's had his hand on a lot of projects in a lot of different areas.
I hope you kept those notes.
We do, yeah.
Good.
We did keep them.
That's important stuff. So you purchased the company in 1988 and had an experience to travel around on some jobs with your grandfather. Do you find yourself traveling around the state doing work all over the place still, or do you mostly stay in Anchorage?
No, we still do. I mean, in any given year, probably 40 or 50% of the volume that we're doing is outside the Anchorage area.
Gotcha. That is kind of a neat thing about construction, is that it gives you a chance to see what is a pretty large state and pretty diverse. There are some amazing places that being a construction worker or running a company can afford you to see. Any particular spot in Alaska comes to mind as particularly unique or interesting?
You know, I mean, King Salmon and Dillingham, that Bristol Bay area there, even Iliamna there, those were all areas that I spent a lot of time, and then went back as an owner of the company and performed work. So lots of friends in those areas, you know, lots of folks that worked with us that are still friends to this day. We had the opportunity recently to travel back a project that bid in Naknek, which was their school there, and bid the work. We weren't successful on it, but the last project that we had, the first project actually that I had bid and ran for F&W Construction happened to be in addition to that school, so it was kind of neat to go back 30 years later.
That is
and
cool.
And it's there were still some folks around that you know I had seen over the years. It's not, we don't go 30 years typically before we see them, but. But it's all those areas, Dillingham in particular, King Salmon comes to mind, mm-hmm. You know, Iliamna, Pilot Point, some of those areas there, lots of friends in those areas there, and I'm always excited to go back and spend some time there, whether we're looking for work or whether we're actually doing work in those areas. They're all great. Galena and up and down the Yukon mm-hmm. River, there's a few areas there, so.
Nice. You can learn interesting things traveling around. I was just chatting with you before we started recording. I wasn't even aware that Dutch Harbor was one of the bigger seafood exporting ports in the world, much less the United States.
Yeah, no, it is. It's you know, what we were talking about specifically is how much, you know, what a big state we have here, and
yeah.
Of course, with most of our population centered in Anchorage, there how few people have an opportunity to travel around and see some of those areas, whether it's, you know, the big economic engines like the Dutch Harbor and of course the Prudhoe Bay, which is the number one
mm-hmm,
economic sure. engine. But of course, there's mining that it's taken care of in Western Alaska and provides, you know, great jobs for those folks out in that Kotzebue region area, and then in Southeast Alaska, the tourism that's going just absolutely crazy down there.
Right.
So, yeah, those are all areas that I feel real blessed to have had the opportunity to not only work in, but spend a lot of time there.
Yeah. No, there's certainly some beautiful parts of our state that you can see getting to work in construction. Is there, what is your experience with the Associated General Contractors, the AGC, been? Has F&W always been affiliated, or what was that experience like or process?
Yeah, F&W has been a member for many, many, many years, kind of on an on-again, off-again. My grandfather, I think, was initially introduced to F&W probably in the late 60s or the early 70s. You know, he was a kind of a quiet German that worked really, really hard. He was a, mm-hmm. you know, a complete, you know, class act of a guy. You know, he was one of those folks that shook your hand and you knew you had a deal type of thing. And
mm-hmm.
And so he enjoyed AGC early on, but didn't really wasn't as active in it as I eventually became.
Mm-hmm.
After I bought the company, myself and another family member, Diane Heverling, who's my aunt, actually bought the company. Then I was invited in or encouraged to become more active in it.
Mm-hmm.
Folks that were real instrumental and real mentors to me were, you know, Pat Riley of Rainproof Roofing and Tim Brady of Ken Brady Construction Company, you know, in Fairbanks, Burt Bell with Gem Company and those guys up there. So they were real mentors to me, and I still spend time with all of them. And
okay.
And so they brought me on board or encouraged me, and I think that I formally started to serve on the board. I think I was elected to the General Board of Directors in the 90s. And ultimately, in early 2000s, was invited onto the executive board, and then in 2006 served as the AGC chapter president here in Alaska.
How long did you serve as the president?
Just 1 year. It's a 1 year term.
1 year term. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Was there anything interesting that you were part of AGC specifically during your work with the executive board or as president? Anything interesting happen?
You know, I think that when I first came on to the executive board, that was probably the very beginning of what became, you know, what we all know as workforce development and the in the, this impending labor shortage, craft person shortage, I guess you could call it. And I think AGC of Alaska was way, way ahead of even national AGC in that regard. And there was an executive director at the time that was really uniquely qualified. His name was Dick Catnaw. Dick was a former owner of a partner in unit company, which was a general contractor. He had actually served as a president with F&W or with, I'm sorry, with AGC of Alaska. And Dick had a little bit of an academic background. So he recognized that. And there were some folks that really got behind it and pushed that. You know, Davis Constructors at the University of Alaska was very instrumental there. And a lot of Rainproof and Ken Brady Construction, lots and lots of the member companies recognized it way early on and spent time. They spent time, their employees spent time, and they wrote some checks. And we started that whole barge moving a long time before I think the rest of the nation really recognized it. And as a result of that, in 2006, during my term as president of AGC of Alaska, we received the Chapter of the Year Award from National AGC for the work that we did. And now you'll see, you know, that's almost you know, something that AGC National talks about continuously, but I think we were, you know, fully, you know, 10 years ahead of the rest of the country when it came to that.
That's pretty impressive. Now, see, being as the workforce development isn't necessarily a new phenomenon, do you think there are any new solutions to it or new ways to approach the issue?
You know, there's, I don't think it's, you know, there's lots and lots of new ways to do it. I think that it's really more of an education process. I think the message is the same. I think we're doing a little bit better communicating that to folks that are entering the workforce. I think that, you know, we've experimented with the social media aspect of it. We've encouraged through the Construction Education Foundation, which I was involved with for a lot of years, to do this pre-apprenticeship introduction to kids, young people, I shouldn't say all kids, they were up until 21, 22 years old, just to introduce them to all the opportunities and then show them the different paths that, you know, if they were interested, whether it was a construction management program that, you know, AGC was very, very instrumental in having the University of Alaska finally become accredited with a CM program over there.
Nice.
And obviously we've got, you know, all the workforce pieces and parts that the Department of Labor participated with us with the programs that we've got, whether we're introducing them to a pre and apprenticeship program or some other, you know, tract. And I think we were really successful with that stuff. We still are. So I think if I looked forward, probably the one area that we do better now, and I don't think the message is a lot better, different. I just think we do better at communicating the message to folks, to the young people that potentially could enter our workforce, and I think that's improved. So,
sure. Well, that's good. It's I'm glad you touched on the importance of it, the educational process that needs to take place with the youth or whomever it may be that's looking to consider a trade, or I should say a career in the trades. The goal of accomplishing that outreach can change, or the ways we do it. So we'd, like you said, there's social media and stuff that's maybe a little bit newer, but the direct contact through the school system or whatever opportunities there may be is always still available. And I know the AGC works with the local school district here in Anchorage and tries to do outreach to any of the classes that are willing to have us and talk to the youth about their career opportunities in the trades, just to plant that seed so that they know that they can do that. Have you found that there is a steady supply of willing workers, or has there been ebbs and flows in the amount of folks, youth, young people, whatever, looking to get into the trades?
You know, I think it probably does ebb and flow a little bit. I think that when you look at the folks that I have been involved with directly with regard to workforce development at that high school level, I think the Anchorage School District has had some, there was a gentleman by the name of Rick Rios there that was an incredible advocate for it. And and I think there were folks that came along after him that probably weren't. I think there's any school probably has, you know, it, not necessarily, they're out there trying to train for that next step, which is a four-year college. And I think there's that's certainly a viable option. And anybody that wants to travel down that path, I think it's important that, you know, they do everything they can to prepare them to do that. But at the same time, if they choose not to, I think they need to prepare to do something else. I've got, you know, an incredibly talented son who, you know, has he chose not to go down that path. You know, he spent 7 years in the Coast Guard and then came back and went through the Carpenter Apprenticeship Program and works, you know, as many hours as he wants to work and has as a great career there, and very, very smart young man. I've got another younger one that that's looking at it anyway. He hasn't quite just graduated from high school, hasn't quite decided yet. and I've got a daughter that actually works with me, who, you know, took the college track, went through, received her degree, went to work at a couple of different places, and ultimately went to work for not necessarily a competitor, but another construction company, which is something we, in my family, we've always encouraged. Even if you were interested in being part of our industry, that, you know, you weren't necessarily entitled to a job at F&W Construction. We wanted you to go out and visit other places. And so she did that and has since come back and is certainly going to be, you know, the future of I think where F&W becomes. We've got some great talented people there, and Sagan is a big piece of that puzzle now. So
that I've got the chance to work with her as part of the CLC committee, the Construction Leadership Council, and she's been a joy to work with, and I'd say you're lucky to have her. Hang on to that one. Personally and professionally.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I, in full disclosure, I had the opportunity to coach your youngest son in Pop Warner football years ago. It's a small town.
It is.
And I ran into him at the AGC convention a couple months ago. He's a big boy now.
Yeah.
We got to get him in the trade swinging a hammer. He's definitely built for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Gage has grown a few.
Yeah, he was always a great football player and coachable. I'm sure he'd fit well in construction if that's the path he chooses to take. So you touched on social media as it relates to maybe outreach to the new generation when it comes to career opportunities. Have you seen technology change the actual work in the field? A lot, a little? Is craftsmanship still a big component, or has it been shifting more to the into the digital age as far as the industry goes, it, from your perspective?
I think that you know, there's certainly technology that's reached the job site. There's no question about that. I mean, we, you know, I mentioned we do a lot of work outside of Anchorage, so we have you know, a lot of our employees spend, you know, weeks away from home. So that technology is good. They're able to have cell phones out there, and they're able to have email to communicate with
FaceTime
their families. FaceTime with their kids. That's all good stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it really, really is.
Sure.
You look at the amount of information that we exchange now related to technical documents and things like that, and that's primarily all done even at the job site level now, you know, on a laptop or through a server or whatever. So those areas there are certainly have been touched by technology in a really big way. Don't know that all of it's really good. I think there's a lot of it that's some of it to me is I'm fascinated by all of it, but I find myself getting caught up in some technology sometimes where I have to step back and take a deep breath and say, Jesus, what's the benefit to this?
Right.
And in the end, it's got to save you some time or make you some money or do something, because that's what we're all in business for. I think there's still a vacuum that exists as it relates to a craftsman. I think that, and there always will be. I mean, great craftsmen that build those buildings, pour concrete, you know, and construct buildings, you know, a lot like we did many, many years ago. But there's other areas, you know, whether it's material handling and things like that, that are going to change, and the technology will affect that. But in the end, I think it all is, it's all based on a foundation that you know, there's an opportunity in no greater state than Alaska than opportunity. There's so many people, and I count a lot of them among my really, really close friends that have come to Alaska from somewhere else and built really successful companies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's Alaska's unique there. I think there's very, very few states that have as much opportunity. But you know, you kind of, it's that old adage, you know, you got to get up a little bit earlier and you got to work a little later and you got to work a little bit smarter. So mm-hmm. that foundation has to be there. And then you've got to have all the tools to do it, whether you're a great painter or a great cement mason or a great carpenter or those pieces and parts there too. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're all piece of the pie. You know, you got that. There's a lot of different pieces there, and you've got to be able to put them all together to be successful.
So given that craftsmanship is still an important foundational piece to the work that we do, what are some things you look for in potential employees, particularly maybe somebody that's new coming into the trade? What stands out to you after your many years of experience?
Oh, they got to be enthusiastic. They got to show up on time. They've got to be glad they're there, and mm-hmm. they've got to be enthusiastic. You know, we've had lots of folks that have been that have become very, very good at what they've done, and we've had a few that we've probably kept around too long that, you know, didn't develop into the at the level that we thought we needed, but because they were enthusiastic, they were good learners. I mean, those things there, I think, are probably the most important pieces that I see with prospective new employees. And I think in my personal instance here, and I would say probably over the last year, we've been really fortunate in that we've got, you know, we've got some really great young employees that have come along, and that's great to see. I mean, there's, like you mentioned earlier, there's ebbs and flows, but we happen to be, you know, at a time when we've identified and brought four or five really talented young folks on that are doing a really good job for us, and we're really happy to have them.
What are some underrated skills in construction? What's the ones we don't hear about?
An underrated skill?
Yeah. I don't know. Is there interaction, communication, legible handwriting? I don't know. What are some things that you might, maybe we don't hear about? I mean, everybody knows being big and strong is maybe helpful.
No, you got to be part of a team. I mean, you know, you mentioned Gage and coaching Gage with football. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I think that organized sports in many, many ways are a lot like, you know, anything that we do. And I'm not talking about just construction. You know, that none of that stuff is put together. Very little of it, I should say, is ever put together by a single person. I mean, somebody might have an idea. But, you know, it's, you know, Steve Jobs, you know, he didn't build the iPhone. He came up with a concept and put it all together, and there was a lot of other people that helped execute it.
Yeah.
And I think some of the greatest people that I've worked for probably were, you know, they were real unifiers as it came to leading somebody. You know, they if you watched them and listened to them, there were a few of them that were probably a little bit more rough and gruff than what's politically correct or acceptable today.
Uh-huh.
And I was able to kind of keep my tongue in my mouth and
sure.
and not overload myself and listen.
Uh-huh.
And as a result became, you know, it was a good learning experience for me. And those folks recognized that I wanted to continue on. So they pushed me as far as that I was willing, got me as close to the edge as I would get. And I think that's probably, in my mind, the single, you know, I mean, probably the smartest superintendent from a technical perspective that I ever worked with in my life was a guy that, and I liked him very much, but he really had poor social skills, and mm-hmm. he never could, you know, have a consensus or build a team around him to do these other projects, to do the next project. I mean, he was stymied a little bit at a level that was really much, much lower than what his capability was because of that.
Interesting. Yeah, there is a very real teamwork component to construction. And I mean, that's part of the fun for me when I was working in the field was that very thing. There's even a camaraderie that ends up getting built and the whole nine yards. You also mentioned listening, which I took note of just because I think it is probably, especially when you're first starting out, pretty important. When you first show up, you kind of don't know what you don't know, and it is important to listen to those that come before you. And that's something I hope anybody that's considering a career in construction is willing to do, because that is going to be pretty important no matter what craft or industry or trade you get into. Now, I'd like to kind of take a step back from the specifics of F&W and AGC and just ask you what you see as far as the opportunities for careers in construction in Alaska in a general sense. We're having some decision, we're at some decision points as a state when it comes to our finances and our ability to have a capital budget and the things that we all know that we need. What do you see as far as the future of the industry and our economics here in Alaska?
I'm optimistic about the future. You know, we've all been, those of us that have been in Alaska as many years as I have, you know, you've seen, you know, the post-pipeline years. I mean, there's rises and it falls, you know, continuously. It's in construction in particular, you know, goes through cycles. So that part of it doesn't concern me. I think that, you know, the legislature and what happens in Juneau, you know, has always been a little bit of a challenge. I think that there's some leaders there, and they'll eventually show themselves. They're definitely camouflaged right now.
I was gonna say they've been hiding. No,
so
camouflaged. Yeah,
I think that there's lots of hard decisions that have been made, and I think that, you know, there's people that are going to step up and recognize that, you know, in order for us to be the state and to live up to the potential that we have, that, you know, that we're going to have to probably make some changes, and we're going to have to figure out, you know, how we want to live, and we're going to have to figure out how to pay for it.
Right.
And but I look at the natural resource development that we have. Mm-hmm. I look at the incredible opportunities that we have with really great companies, mm-hmm. you know, like Conoco and now Hilcorp, and the folks that we've had the opportunity to work for, the large companies that we've had the opportunity to work for in the North Slope, mm-hmm. And all over the state. I mean, the fishing community and Dutch Harbor and those things. I think there's big pieces that are really large economic drivers, mm-hmm. and I think that that'll continue, you know, provided that things don't get too out of balance.
Yeah.
And I think the last couple of years has been a struggle, but I, you know, I'm optimistic.
I, too, find myself eternally optimistic to a fault sometimes, but I'm a lifelong Alaskan. I obviously haven't been here as long as yourself, but definitely see wisdom prevailing ultimately, and this is not that complicated. We have to support ourselves and pay our bills. We all do it at our home, you know, personal budgets, and as a resident here, it's no different. You know, I've always felt like construction as an industry is a pretty good barometer of how an economy is doing in a particular, you know, geographic location. It's oftentimes the first industry into a recession or affected by one, and oftentimes the first one out. And we've had a couple of lean years. Lucky to have some military construction, mostly up north, kind of helping out a lot of folks. But I definitely am optimistic to see things turn up here in the next couple of years. I've been seeing signs of that, and talking to folks like yourself, there does seem to be a trajectory of maybe turning things around a bit, and hopefully that's what we see happen. Our legislature convenes here in just a couple of weeks. Once the economy does turn around, do you think that we'll be able to adequately fill the void from what you might call like the aging pipeline workers who came up here, you know, 70s and 80s, built the pipeline, a lot of them stuck around, which was great because we had a super qualified workforce that's now sort of getting ready to retire. Are we going to be able to fill that void by ourselves? Do you think there's going to need to bring workers in from out of state? And kind of a part B to that question would be, have you seen workers leaving, maybe not necessarily because of retirement, but just because of work opportunities were greater elsewhere? How do you see that void being filled?
Well, I think, first of all, one thing that's pretty common in Alaska, even for those of us that were born here, is maybe the generation before, but everybody came from somewhere else almost, mm-hmm. you know, with the exception, you know, of unless you
and me.
Yeah, I mean, everybody right. came from folks. Somebody somewhere else. Obviously, the villages is an exception, but in most of these areas. So right. We all came from somewhere else, and I think that when you talk about mega projects like the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, you know, or when you talk about a large gas line or something right. like that, you know, the reality is that that nobody would ever be able to do, that you could pass whatever legislation that you wanted to with regard to Alaska hiring.
Mm-hmm.
The simple fact of the matter is we don't have the number of folks that it would take to build a mega project, and
no
we don't
way.
Have the skills.
No way, not so, a mega job.
So
no.
That's reality.
Sure.
Do we want to be prepared so that as many of our people can fill those jobs as possible? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so we need to always be, we need to recognize that and be prepared for that. And I think that, you know, in general, I think, you know, people that come to Alaska, a lot of them stay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this last recession, I guess, or downturn in our economy, certainly with 1,300 miles south in Seattle, the hottest construction economy in the world,
right.
Or in the nation, I guess.
The whole skyline of
town. You know, we had an entire, you know, generation, it seemed like, that got vacuumed mm-hmm. down there and working in Seattle. And the reality is that not every one of those guys will come back. Probably less than half will come back.
Right.
So I think that, you know, as we move along forward, there's always going to be a void, you know, for a top construction hand or a top craftsman. There's always going to be a demand. There's no question about that. So,
great point.
So no matter what the economy does here, I think that the cream always rises to the top, and you're always going to see a demand for that.
So you're telling me the really good workers always stay busy? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's a it seems like it would be a simple thing, but sometimes is understated that if you work hard and make yourself indispensable, then you won't be dispensed of.
That's a true statement.
I've seen that play out no matter really almost whatever the economy is doing. The good guys and gals do stay working. And that's a, you know, I don't know about the future of Alaska as far as like mega projects. I am certainly hoping for at least a modest increase in workload and economic uptick in construction. And I would like to see us build that workforce here at home as much as possible. And I think we can do it. You know, I don't know, you know, barring a huge mega project, I don't think we'd necessarily need to drag in a bunch of folks from out of state. I think there's interest, and I think that there's people like yourself willing to train and, you know, help employ, and there's various avenues for training people can explore. So I always like to get people's perspective on that. I will say most folks that I interview for this podcast do have a pretty optimistic outlook, you know, in spite of a couple of lean years here. And
we're contractors. Contractors yeah. are by nature optimistic
if
people.
You're not, you wouldn't make it long, huh? It's a tough job. It's a tough, you know, there's a fair amount of stress and focus and demand, but it's pretty pretty interesting. I was lucky to grow up in Homer and doing, you know, handyman work with my dad. House painting is kind of how I got into the industry, but I knew early on I just loved construction. I still the sights, the sounds, the smells, everything.
Oh yeah,
you know, it's pretty cool. Anything that you would like to mention that maybe we didn't get to talk about, the AGC, what it's doing nowadays? In fact, I'll tell you what, I'll actually ask a specific question. What do you think would be an advantage to someone to becoming an AGC member or affiliate as a contractor? This podcast, one of the nice things about this medium is it goes out to everybody. So if you were talking to a contractor who's not currently affiliated with AGC, what would you tell them as someone who's been with them a long time?
Well, I think the AGC of Alaska is the greatest industry group in Alaska. I think we're respected. We carry a voice to Juneau.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we're a lot more to contractors or to the industry than a lot of other competing organizations. I think mm-hmm. we've got, you know, obviously this workforce development and the Construction Leadership Council that you spoke about,
mm-hmm.
you know, obviously advocacy is always a big deal. I think mm-hmm. that AGC of Alaska carries a lot of influence with folks. They call us. I'm talking about our elected officials now
mm-hmm.
that call us to talk to us about our industry and about mm-hmm. the capital projects and about the capital budgets. I think all those things make AGC of Alaska the greatest trade group or industry organization for construction in the state of Alaska, and I would say that nationwide too. I've had the mm-hmm. opportunity to travel to many, many states, you know, during my real active period on the executive board, and back to Washington D.C.
Mm-hmm.
I had the incredible opportunity to sit with Senator Stevens when he was the chairman of the Appropriations Committee in the his office in the Capitol, and enjoy lunch with him and talk to folks about our industry, and these guys, you know, these guys are the, you know, they're really the leaders of our free world here, but yet they look to AGC for direction as it relates to our industry. Mm-hmm. And that's how AGC of America was originally founded. Woodrow Wilson, you know, came to the industry and said, hey, guys, let's get organized here. And a group of contractors started what became AGC of Alaska many, many years ago. And I think that we have that same opportunity, I'll bet, on a state scale here in Alaska. I think that we, you know, it's evident by you know, all of the opportunities that we have to sit down and discuss things that decisions that get made in Juneau that affect every one of us, not just contractors. They affect our education system. You know, we've got members here that are, you know, that sit with the Anchorage School District and some of those folks there about school bonds that are needed, you know, for our public school system. You know, we've got folks that, you know, that sit and participate, you know, on transportation committees about roads that are going to be built and highways that are going to be built and improvements in our airports and things like that. So, you know, we're really blessed that we've got of the 690 members, you know, we've got a lot of folks that are very, very active in all of the areas that I just mentioned. And I think that alone probably makes us one of the more influential, not just in construction, but organizations, trade groups, industry groups in the state of Alaska. I mean, I think of a couple other. RDC obviously does an incredible job, the miners, you know, and that type of stuff. But I think AGC does a great job in that area there. And I think it's we're still doing a great job after, you know, 60 to 70 years.
Yes. And the job that AGC does has never been more important. It's always been important, and now is no exception. And I really appreciate you kind of highlighting the role that the AGC plays in the industry and our community at large. So if you're listening out there and we're considering joining, I can't imagine a more convincing pitch than that. I do appreciate you sitting down today, Mr. Capps. Is there anything else you'd like to add? Anything on your mind?
No, I think, you know, if anybody, I guess if my voice reaches out to anybody and sways them in such a manner that would bring them into the industry, whether it be an employee or a company coming into AGC, you know, I think that that I've been lucky enough to grow up in the greatest state, Alaska, and in the greatest industry, construction. So I would encourage anybody that is looking for an opportunity to roll up their sleeves and join us, because we'd love to have you.
Heck yeah. Well, I will agree with that. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thanks, sir. Bronson.
Appreciate you coming in. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Alaska Works Podcast, brought to you by a generous contribution from the Construction Industry Progress Fund and the Associated General Contractors of Alaska.